Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It's Wednesday, so Jonathan Hutton will join us in 1 hour. We'll get Hutton's reaction to some of the action we saw yesterday at OTAs, who was there, who wasn't there, what's the concern level. We'll also have Elliot Friedman one day early because we'll get Elliot Friedman's reaction to the Ryan McDonough move. We heard his real reaction in real time on the 32 Thoughts podcast, so we'll touch on that with Elliot and also where the Predators go next from here now that they freed up $7 million against the cap over the next 2 years. Hutton in 1 hour, Elliot Friedman in 2 hours. Nick Frazier, I know you're feeling good today. Oh. After that Mississippi State baseball game last night.
It's great. I mean, I got a new Roku remote along with seeing Mississippi State. I mean, it's great.
Yeah, Roku. Look at you riding high.
It has the volume up and down button on it. I'm going up in the world.
It is just, you know, you are a wealth of riches today.
Just give me a burger with peanut butter and jelly and we're good.
Stop it. Stop it.
Don't start on that note.
Stop it.
Willie D.D. Mace, happy Wednesday. How we doing?
Hey, happy Wednesday. Things are going well. Great games last night. I didn't get a chance to see the baseball game, and I'm sure that it was a doozy, as you and Nick was telling me before air.
It was a rather boring day by Hoover standards, and then it was a walk-off Mississippi State home run at the bottom of the ninth. It was
so it made it a little bit exciting.
And
then the basketball game, Indiana just sort of. They just wet the bed
big time. They
last
had
week, Halliburton, he needs to stop. Don't give him the ball with 2 minutes left.
It's sad because he's so good. He's for a the good player.
Exactly.
47 minutes,
yeah. But he completely choked. I mean, Drew Holiday put the clamps on him, and he acted as if he couldn't dribble the ball no more. It was amazing to watch.
It was an epic
the defense at least.
Yeah, and they're not going to get very many more opportunities.
Yeah, that was a game that they should have won, but they didn't. Boston took it, and as you said, Caroline, before it's just going to be a gentleman's sweep. Now they're not going to sweep them. They're going to give them one game, and that's going to be it.
Give them one as a treat.
Yeah, give them one.
You
as
really
a treat.
Think it's going to be that easy?
Yeah, they blew it last night. That game. But when you blow a game like that, I think it does. Sort of bleeds over into the next game because they had it was what was it like a minute and 20 something seconds left. They were up 5 points. They had to get they were shooting free throws from here on out. They act as if they couldn't take the ball, you know, throw the ball in.
They had a couple of turnovers. It was just like just handed
boneheaded
the game back
stuff.
And Boston still had to hit a tough three out of the corner to tie
Brown,
it. It was a great
oh my
shot.
Goodness.
But if they just get fouled and make the free throws.
You win the game.
I think they win the game. But I do think – now, the mental recovery from that is going to be the question. I do think, though, that talent-wise, I was pretty impressed.
Oh, they got talent. They got
the
talent
Celtics
up and down
had trouble
board.
Guarding. They even missed. I felt like Halliburton was getting guys wide open threes throughout the game. They got great shots.
They just weren't knocking them down when they needed to.
Yeah. But so I don't know. Maybe they'll surprise us and stretch the series.
Sweet.
You think a gentleman sweep?
Gentleman sweep.
I might have to take to the bank. We'll see.
I think they
can win
games.
At least a couple games.
I think two games.
Get at least a couple.
Oh wow!
You get a couple.
Y'all more optimistic than
they
we are.
Beat the Knicks. they beat the Knicks every time.
Well,
in
the Knicks
in
was
Indiana.
Beat up. The Knicks were basically trying to drive a car with no tires. And the engine was bad.
Yeah.
And you're trying to drive it down
they
the road.
They were on fumes.
Here's
yeah,
one
they
thing
were
about
on
the Knicks.
Fumes.
They're going to Nick.
Yeah, Nick's going to Nick. Even though
Jets
the Knicks
are
aren't
gonna Jet,
a team.
And the Mets are going to Met.
So that's just all New York teams.
I'm sorry,
New York
Willie.
Teams are going to New York.
But the Mets
my
do
heart.
Be Metting sometimes.
Oh, my heart. At least the Commodores got it done yesterday. The Mets lost again. And I've got
a lot
of Cleveland fans
up today.
That are just, you know, they send me the GIFs and stuff once the game's over. That's, you know, the Guardian stuff and... You know, slider running around the mascot. It hurts. But Vanderbilt won.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
LSU won.
Yep.
It is pretty interesting in Hoover. The whole thing is we know that everybody in that tournament is probably one of the 48 best teams in the country, right? I mean, that's usually the case. The problem
except
is you can be really good. Yeah, there's always a couple that, you know, just have a bad year for whatever reason.
Ole Miss squeaked in there because Auburn and Missouri were just that bad.
Right. Yeah. There's always a couple that just, whatever, cycle down.
Yeah.
But you know that the NCAA tournament committee is trying to balance the fact that they know this is the best league in the country with, I can't let everybody in the tournament. Right? So there's going to be, usually, a team or two that is good enough to be in the tournament, could probably go win a regional, but won't be in the tournament because of that reason.
Yeah.
Right? They have to have some geographical balance. They try to find teams in the northern part of the country where it's snowing. Like the Big Ten is always tough, right? It'll be interesting when UCLA and USC are in the Big Ten.
Oh, how's that?
And they're playing games at Ohio State and Michigan State in March and April, and they're like, wait a minute, this isn't how we roll. We play in warm weather. What is going on?
That's what happens when you switch conferences.
But it's hard to recruit to those. It's hard to recruit to those cities, right? Tom Izzo could go to the Michigan State baseball program, but there'd be a lot of good players say, Tom, I love you, man. You're a great coach.
But I'm not playing
baseball. I ain't playing baseball in Michigan. I'm going to Florida, or I'm going to North Carolina or South Carolina or LSU. So that's the drama that's going on in Hoover, right? LSU and Vanderbilt feel much better about themselves having won that first game and have a chance to win another game or two to give that little extra on their resume to make sure they're in there. There's no question. There's no question they are good enough to beat some teams and maybe even win a regional as a two or a three seed. But maybe one of them doesn't get in. Like Florida has got the number one strength of schedule. They lost last night to Vanderbilt.
And they're
they going to get in?
Above 500.
Yeah. Are they going
to
get in?
You have to be at least one game above 500 to even qualify for the tournament. Mm-hmm. There were five SEC teams sitting at 13-17. And that 13 conference win mark is kind of that line of demarcation of if you're 12-18, sorry, you're not getting in. 13, you at least are still in consideration. Five SEC teams that were right on the bubble. Alabama lost yesterday. Florida lost yesterday. So at 13 SEC wins with zero wins in the conference tournament, is that going to be enough to get you to a tournament? I don't know.
They're going to be sweating when that it's Memorial Day every year, right? Is it every year the Memorial Day, I think, where they announce the brackets?
Yes, yeah.
So there's going to be some Memorial Day armpit sweat.
Memorial Day is this upcoming Monday.
Yeah. Okay. So they'll
it'll be Sunday.
Just like when we watch March Madness brackets, right? When it comes out, there's always that camera on the one team that's hoping. They're not sure.
They're sitting there like.
And there's like heartbreak sitting there. They don't make it. They go back to the locker room. And they're all just dejected like, what happened? We didn't make it.
You didn't win enough games. That's what happened.
And I sat there my sophomore year. We didn't have a camera or a team gathering, but I know that feeling. We all sat in the suite just like, and we were not announced until the last thing. We were a 9 seed, so we got in pretty easily, but we were waiting to that last group of teams that they announced, and then, man, did we erupt when we saw our name pop up on that thing. But that's going to happen to a couple teams. They're going to be in that situation not knowing if they're in or not.
Yeah, that's a tough situation, and tough situation for the pizza party that you have planned afterward.
Ooh, yeah.
Got to send that Papa John's back.
Do you think LSU is in now?
I think after beating Georgia yesterday, a top 10 RPI team, a 11th ranked team in the country, I think that was enough to push them in. But they're up 2-0 against Kentucky right now. So if they're able to beat Kentucky, I think that's the lock. You beat Georgia, you beat Kentucky, two top 10 RPI teams, two projected host sites for a regional and a super regional. I think that's enough. And I think especially given that LSU in the last half of SEC play in the last 15 games were 10-5 versus 3-12 in the first half of conference play. So I do think especially beating Kentucky today, that's got to lock them up. If they don't beat Kentucky today, I think you're entering a little bit of that gray area. But beating Georgia yesterday was huge. If they lost to Georgia, I didn't think that there was a shot that they were going to get in.
That's an interesting viewpoint because Vanderbilt, I think, has a little bit of the same scenario today. They got a big win yesterday over Florida, a team that's kind of fighting for, who knows, maybe they'll all get in. It's possible, but they got that win. Now Vanderbilt gets the chance against Tennessee.
Who does today. LSU play?
LSU's playing Kentucky right now.
Okay. Yeah, and Kentucky is, that would be a great feather in your cap if you could win that game. Just like if Vanderbilt were able to find a way to beat Tennessee today, that would strengthen. If there's any doubt, if anybody on the committee's on the fence are like, ooh, that's a statement win right there.
And I think what plays into LSU's favor, Vanderbilt's favor, some of these bubble teams that are now in the double elimination bracket, they're playing 1, 2, 3, 4 seeds where some coaches might approach it and be like, look, we're just going to save our arms. like, we'll go out there, we'll give it our best, we're going to make it a competitive game as best as we possibly can, but we got bigger fish to fry, and we know that we're already in the tournament. Like, I do wonder, you know, Georgia throwing a pitcher out there yesterday against LSU with a 9 ERA. Were you really pushing for that win against LSU, or were
probably
you throwing
not.
Guys out there to say, hey, if we win, we win, and if we don't, we're still most likely going to be
at least I get to rest some arms.
Yes.
You can rest some
arms. Well, that was what's interesting about Florida's pitcher that they started, because Florida was in kind of a, you know, you really need to win this game, right? Would you agree that Florida, they couldn't afford to just, hey, if we win, great. If we lose, great.
Florida is very much so playing with fire right now.
Yeah.
Even a win yesterday over Vanderbilt, I don't think would even be enough. I thought Florida would have to at least get to the tournament semifinal.
I don't know enough about their pitching staff, but they threw a kid who had only had 10 innings pitched the entire year. He was talented, big 6'8" left-hander.
A kid that was like a billion feet tall?
Yeah, and he had some left-hander, nasty stuff. I'm sure pro scouts are like, let's keep an eye on this guy. Like, I'd love to get a hold of this guy, and let's get his mechanics going, and let's see what he looks like in 5 years. I'm sure he's going to have many opportunities to pitch down the road. But this year, he didn't pitch very much, and Vanderbilt was able to scratch out a few runs, get a lead.
Yeah.
And we know in Birmingham, the other, I think, really intriguing thing about playing in that tournament, and I got a chance to play on that field one of the first years they moved it to the Hoover Met. That's how old I am. 1990 SEC tournament.
Man, you old, Willie.
Big time.
I'm just messing with you.
But the ball doesn't fly out of that park.
It doesn't.
You're not going to just sit there and bang 10 or 12 runs out unless you really earn it. If you do, that's great, but you're not going to do it by just flipping fly balls up in the air and it's just going to carry out.
Hoover and TD Ameritrade, if that's what it's still called in Omaha,
yeah.
They are very much so pitcher's parks. So if you can play small ball, which Kentucky does very well, I believe Vanderbilt does very well, Tennessee and Georgia, they don't play small ball very well. So those parks very much so lend to being able to play small ball, that you're not just getting up to the plate and ripping dingers every single at bat. So, you know, fun things to follow, and we'll keep everybody updated. LSU up now 2-0 in the top of the six as they look in the reflection behind Willie. Mm-hmm. But I do want to start with some
good job reading the numbers backwards and everything. I might have.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, very talented.
We'll
Caroline's
back
got talent.
I'll report back to my ophthalmologist.
I need to go see one. to remind myself.
I want to get into some reaction from Titans OTAs yesterday. You know, there were a lot of talk about who was there, who wasn't there. We will get into all of that. But yesterday we also heard from Brian Callahan, who was on with the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. And I always love listening to that podcast with coaches and players because it's so much more of a casual environment. You know, Brian Callahan was letting the F-bombs fly. See, I know. I was surprised when I heard it too. But it's just so much more of a casual environment, and I feel like it facilitates a lot more genuine conversation. And, of course, a coach is still going to give you a certain level of coach speak no matter where he's speaking. But a lot of insight there from Brian Callahan. But there was one specific clip that D-Mace, you said, I want to talk about this. Mm-hmm. And it was Brian Callahan's evaluation of what he's seen from Treylon Burks so far this offseason. This was Brian Callahan.
I'll tell you this. I only know what I've seen of him. Obviously, I know what precedes him just because I've watched it and I understand it. But from what we see on a day-to-day basis with Trey, he's been phenomenal. Like, his work ethic, the things that he's done, does everything we've asked. He's got unbelievable physical talent. And it's a personal challenge to me and to our staff is how do we find the best role for Trey to come help us? Like, I think he can be a good player. I do think guys get in these situations sometimes, for example, you know, they trade AJ and they draft him. There's just an intense amount of pressure on him to be AJ and or to replace AJ. And I think that wears on guys sometimes when it doesn't go well to start. And it's hard to be a really good player at receiver as a rookie. I think it's hard. I think it's a difficult task. And so for him, there might have been a compounding factors of all that pressure he felt. And then to be able to go play fast and play aggressive and be free of that, I think, is hard. So what I'm hopeful for is that the addition of these veteran players that we have in here, a new lease for him in terms of all I know is what he's shown me, and I don't make any judgments on what's happened before, and that opportunity to reinvent yourself in a sense, I think is going to be really good for him. And I've been impressed with what he's done so far, and I think he can play, but it's like a personal challenge for me to find a place for him to have some success because he's got the talent and ability to do it.
Again, that was Brian Callahan on with the Bustin' with the Boys podcast. And I think the biggest question we all have about Treylon Burks is he going to be able to stay healthy? Mm-hmm. So far, so good. But it's May 22nd. You know, we're through 2 days of OTAs. It's a long off season and it's a long season. I can't tell you today if Treylon Burks will be able to stay healthy for the entirety of a 17-game season. But just based off of, you know, the short period of time that Brian Callahan has had to look at Treylon Burks, to get to know Treylon Burks, D-Mace, what were some of your biggest takeaways from what Brian Callahan had to say there?
I think they are behind the scenes counting on him because he brings something to the offense that none of the other guys bring. He has a combination of, you know, size, speed, strength, the ability to cause a mismatch. No one else on that team has it at that position. D-Hop used to have it. You know, he's getting a little bit older now. So it doesn't, you know, some things have changed with him. Still a damn good player. But him getting down the field, people are not, you know, people are not scared. People are not, that's not what's on the, you know, Wednesday morning scouting report that D-Hop, you know, is a deep threat. That's not on there. Calvin Ridley, he can be a deep threat, but he's not the run after the catch, the physical. He doesn't have that physical presence that Treylon Burks has. And same as Tyler Boyd. Treylon, I was watching clips of Treylon yesterday that I think it was either Jim Wyatt had or Paul had, and they were showing all the wide receivers. And listen, this is not some, you know, ooh, like I've come, you know, like some moment where I had this epiphany about the receivers. No, it's I'm watching every receiver run the same route, every receiver, and they all look the same. They all boom, boom, go in, and then I see 15. Is that Treylon's number 15?
16.
16. And then I see 16. He looks totally different from all of them. Totally different from all of them. He's bigger. He has more of a physical presence. I think he gives them an opportunity to do what AJ was able to do. I'm not saying he is AJ, but he gives them the ability to do what AJ did for them for those two or three seasons, I believe. The other receivers don't know, and Brian, Coach Callahan, he understands that. The coaching staff understands that. That's why they're trying to put him in a position. They just don't want to lock him up as the X or the Z. They're saying, you learn all these positions because we want you on the field because you are the one guy that truly causes a matchup problem. If you are on your game, that defensive coach, he's worried about you because you have a combination that none of the other receivers have. The other receivers are good. D-Hop's great. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. But he doesn't possess what Treylon possesses at this moment. I've always said, if Treylon is the wild card in this receiving core, if he pops, there's no receiver core in the league better than this one because they have the depth. They would have the depth. They would have the experience, and now they got a young cat that they can rely on moving forward. Because these guys, the other two or three, going to age out pretty soon here. They want Treylon to be that guy that walks with Will Levis into that new stadium. He hasn't shown it yet because he's been injured. But that's what they believe. Like, he has the talent. They know. He said it's a personal challenge to me. Coach Callahan just said he said that. It's a personal challenge to him and the coaching staff. Why? Because if he ain't had no damn talent, it wouldn't be a personal challenge to them. We've always said every coach come in thinking, I can be the one that changed that guy that has the immense potential. I can be the guy. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. Coach Callahan and that coaching staff believe they can do it, but Treylon has to do his part, meaning stay on the field. Because when he's on the field and you get him involved, he showed you he can play. So that's what they're hoping. They're hoping, and it's a big-ass hope. I understand that. But that's what they're hoping, that if he pops, no one's going to be able to deal with our passing game. But if he doesn't pop, our passing game will still be good. once we all sort of mesh together, once we figure this thing out, it still would be good. But Treylon is the one guy that could put it over the scale. He can tip the scale in our favor each and every game because you don't know who to guard now. You got four. I could put four wide receivers out there. You don't know who to guard now. I can put Treylon out there with D-Hop. Now everybody has to shift over to Treylon. D-Hop's one-on-one or Calvin Ridley's one-on-one. The perfect picture for them would be Treylon and Calvin Ridley. That would be their perfect picture. Why? Because you got a young guy, a young stud that poses a matchup problem that can get deep, and then you got another guy that has proven his worth in this league that can flat out play in Calvin Ridley. We know what D-Hop can do. We know what Tyler Boyd can do. But these are not guys that are going to be in your thoughts 2 or 3 years down the line. Treylon is the guy, and Ridley is the guy. So if Treylon can hit this season like they want him to, it's a big if. I know that. But he tilts the scale for this offense if he hits the way they believe he can.
And if he can't?
If he can't, then we got to go in another direction.
We move on.
But
this year, if he can't, let me just say this year, if he can't, I think you're still in okay position.
Oh, yeah, they'll still be fine from a pass standpoint. They'll still be fine. But Treylon is the one guy
forward.
that he's that ace in the hole. If you're able to play him and he stays on the field, watch and see what happens. That's all I say.
I'm working my way through the whole podcast. I haven't even gotten to listen to that whole part about Burks. I'm working through the beginning part where he's talking a lot about his background and also how his father and he have gone on very different paths that had never worked near each other until now. Yeah. Very, very fascinating stuff. I commend the Bussin' with Boys dudes. You know, they create a good environment where a guy's comfortable having a long, and it takes a while to get through it, but that's
a long podcast.
That's what's good about podcasts. There's no clock, right? You can just go as long as you want.
And then edit it afterward.
Yeah, if you want to edit it, do it. If not, just leave it in there. But I do like the approach of, look, I can only see – I'm not – this happens a lot with college coaches. You come in saying, look, I know so-and-so is supposed to be really good, but I've never been with him every day, so I'm going to give everybody a clean slate. So that's music to my ears if I'm Treylon Burks because – now he knows that he's got a fresh start, and he's going to be given an opportunity. Even though, as we've talked about a lot, he sees that they've made these moves for other guys, and he knows the pathway maybe is not as wide as it was, but at least he knows that he can make his own impression on the new staff.
Quickly before we go to break, he reminds me a bit, and I'm just talking about stature when you compare him to the other receivers. He reminds me of Tyrone Calico. From this standpoint, you know, you had Drew. Drew's a tall 6'6", but physically, he just wasn't. Drew wasn't a big guy. He was more of a lanky guy, hell of a player, but a lanky guy. You know, then you had myself. You had Justin McCairns. We all were different. But when you added Tyrone Calico, Tyrone was much different from all of us. You saw the difference in his presence as far as he was 6'5". He was about 220. He was just physically imposing. That's how I look at Treylon Burks. Tyrone couldn't put it together, one, because of the injury. He had the horse after the horse collar, it never was right for him. And it seems like, you know, Treylon's dealing with his injury stuff as well. So when I look at receivers and I looked at those guys yesterday, it reminded me so much of what I used to see with Tyrone Calico. Like, amongst all of us, you stand out because of your physical presence. Amongst all of those guys, Treylon Burks stands out because of his physical presence. Now he needs to sort of tie all of that in together and be able to stay on the field because that's what they're hoping.
Which is the reason why the Titans drafted him in the first round in the first place. The physicality, the just sheer talent. Mm-hmm. The God-given talent. That's why he's a first rounder. We saw it in college. And we've seen flashes of it. We at least saw it in training camp last year. But it's can that come out in the field? Can you stay healthy? Can you stay healthy long enough to make an impact into this offense? I do want to continue to get into Brian Callahan's thoughts on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. Plus, speaking of Treylon Burks, another Titans wide receiver made some comments about Burks that have gone viral. And everybody's kind of freaking out about it. My question is it really that big of a deal? What do we make of it? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, Dean, Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Throughout the season, have you talked a little bit just heading into this offseason about maybe the fact that there's certainly a lot of additions and top level competition out there?
No, I don't need to talk to Traylon about anything. Traylon's a grown man, you know, he gets it.
Are we sleeping on him a bit? Outsiders looking at that group and the additions?
I think I answer that without like a negative sound bite. Are we sleeping on Traylon? Nein means no in German.
What are the possibilities for Traylon this year, do you think?
I mean, Traylon's one of the most athletic people I've ever played with. The guy's as big as he is and fast as he is. So I'm looking forward to see what he does this year.
All right, there you go. That was DeAndre Hopkins in the post-OTAs press conference yesterday. So I heard that from D-Hop. I believe it sounded like Steve Lehman asked the question, are we sleeping on Traylon? And DeAndre Hopkins, in German, says no.
Thank you for that that lesson.
Thank you for the language lesson.
Exactly, absolutely.
And he followed up on Twitter because Terry McCormick tweeted out what he said. And DeAndre Hopkins quote tweeted it and said, the media is the only one sleeping on Traylon Burks. No one in the locker room doubted him or slept on him. Quote, we are not people. I can't speak for, quote, people, so... Nine, he's never been slept on to us. Thank you, come again.
We're not people. What he's saying is when the question was asked, people are sleeping. So he's saying he's not
was,
a part of the people.
Are people okay. sleeping yeah, on okay. Traylon Burks? And he says, well, we're not people.
Okay, I get it.
So, D-Maze, I'm sure that you can probably relate to a certain extent of being the veteran in the room and wanting to defend your guys, wanting to instill confidence in some of the young guys. I kind of understand that. But if I'm going to defend Steve Lehman a little bit, I feel like DeAndre Hopkins is taking this a little bit too far. To me, it felt like, and this is just my opinion, and you could feel totally differently. To me, I felt like that was Steve Lehman's way of saying, hey, are we, all of us, the media, the fans, the national media, are we all not giving Traylon Burks enough credit? That felt like an opportunity for DeAndre Hopkins to not take it as personally as I feel like he was taking it.
I mean, I get it.
Is that a big deal to me?
He wants to defend, you know, his guys. And I understand that. I've done it before. Listen, Steve had a good point. Like, listen, you know, from what we've seen, he hasn't shown much. Even your own coaching staff. Don't listen to us. Listen to your own coaching staff.
Yeah.
They're telling you. So I understand where D-Hop, because I would have did the same thing that he did. I probably wouldn't have did the whole German kneel. I wouldn't have did that. But I would have defended Traylon Burks too. But in defending him, I would have said as a veteran guy, as I have said when they've asked me about young guys, listen, he has to, you know, he has to produce. He has to show up. He has to get better. And that's just being honest. And that's what I would have said after I said, listen, we believe in him. We think he can go get the job done. He is, from a physical standpoint, the most imposing guy in our locker room. Well, in our receiver room. I want to see it. He needs to be available. Those are truths. Those are things that you say to Traylon. It's not, I don't have to talk to him. He's a grown man. No. Like, we talk. Y'all don't need to know what we talk about, but yeah, we talk. But y'all don't need to know. But I wouldn't sit here and say I don't need to talk to him. I do. He's a young guy. I'm a veteran guy. So I do need to talk to him. Why? Because here's the deal. I would have been able to talk to him because I was in that situation. I mean, I wasn't a first rounder, but I was in the situation Traylon was in. People getting their speculations of you being traded, get rid of you. You know, this is your last go around. If you don't get it right, then they're going to trade. I've been there. People that haven't been there can't relate to that. So if the question is asked to me, I could say, we've talked, but I'm not telling y'all what we talked about. You know, just be upfront with them in that regard, because it's like, I am not going to try to say something opposite of that because everybody sees what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, and if me, I tried to say something contrary to that, they've been looking at me like, you crazy. Like, dude, don't you see what we see? Yeah, I see it. I want him to get better. But this is my guy. I know he can do it. But he needs to do it. That's just being honest.
And I didn't view it as like a question to try to trap D-Hop into saying something negative about Treylon Burks. Honestly, I thought it was an opportunity for DeAndre Hopkins to sing Treylon Burks' praises.
But D-Hop is very defensive. And I'm not saying this as a bad thing or a good thing, but from what we've seen at times, he can be defensive. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But when these questions are asked, they're not just asked just because, you know, oh, we want to, you know, pick on Treylon or we want to, you know, call or start something. No, these are legitimate questions. Are people sleeping on, you know, Treylon Burks? Because what we're seeing is totally different from maybe what you're seeing as a player in the locker room. So now give us your answer based upon what I just asked you. And listen, again, D-Hop got defenses, which is cool. There's nothing wrong with protecting your guys. I would have did it too. But then I also would have said, yeah, well, Treylon has to, you know, he knows that this is his year, that he has to make it right. Mm-hmm. And that's just being – Treylon knows that. Coaching staff knows it.
Yeah.
So.
We've seen this kind of thing before. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think sometimes the media's just got to let it roll off their back a little bit. It's not anything personal, mm-hmm. I don't think. I just think it's sometimes you get that competitive edge. Mm-hmm. You want to back your teammate.
Exactly.
And so you push back a little bit. I also think what comes to mind when putting together what he just said there and what Callahan said in the last segment – is that there is a reason sometimes a guy is a first-round pick. The mm-hmm. physical gifts and tools that he has are not easily found in NFL players. So he is in a high percentile with that, which is why he was the number one pick and why they're going to be more patient with him. So it's what gives you hope that the light could still go on with him. And when you hear a guy like DeAndre Hopkins talk about how rare it is with his mm-hmm. – the skill set that Burks has and what he sees, you can see why he's like, man, we really need this guy.
There was two guys in our receiver room when I went to Baltimore. Didn't have so much of that here in Nashville because when Drew and Justin came along, you know, well, first when Kevin came, we all were young. Myself, Joey Kent, Kevin, we all were trying to figure this thing out together. But I think once we started to become – you know, once we got that veteran sort of experience, I didn't have to deal with, because Drew came in, was a free agent. Many didn't expect much of him.
Undrafted.
He came in and wowed everybody in camp. So it was like, okay, that kid can play. Justin came in and did what he was supposed to do. So those guys were on their stuff, but they didn't have this moniker of being a first rounder either. So, you know, Kevin did on the other, but we all were so young. But when I went to Baltimore, they had two guys there. Two guys that I thought, one was a second round and one was a later round. Clarence and DeVar. DeVar from Washington State, second round pick, hell of an athlete. I mean, those two guys, DeVar was 6'2", Clarence 6'6". Imposing physically, both of them. I would walk into that receiver room when I knew we were not getting what we needed to get. I would tell them, like, listen, y'all need to pick y'all game up. I expect more. Y'all have more. I wish I was 6'2". I wish I was 6'6". The talent that y'all have physically, I wish I had that. Y'all have it. Y'all need to use it. I said, and this is real. I said, y'all will never beat me out because y'all don't work harder than me. Y'all don't use your gifts the way you're supposed to use them. The physical talent, you got it. You don't use it the way you're supposed to use it. They heard it. They got better. But those are the things that you say to those guys. Maybe D-Hop has said that to Treylon, but he's not going to tell anybody. But you can't say, well, I don't need to talk to him. Yeah, you do, because he needs to hear it from you, just like those younger guys needed to hear it from me. Like, listen, you're slipping. You're 6'2". Run a 4.443, 6.5, run a 4.5. Y'all physically imposing over everybody. And y'all not taking advantage of that. What's going on? you know? Mm-hmm. And they heard me. Those are the things that need to be said to Traylon. Like, dude, you 6'3", 6'4". There's no one. DB should be scared to press you. Scared to press you. Why? Because you're going to break their forearms the minute they get in your grill. They're going to be scared. They should be scared to press you. But they're not, because you don't use your height, strength, weight to your advantage. You're 6'5", playing like you're 5'5". Mm-hmm. That's Traylon. Traylon's 6'4". He needs to play 6'3", 6'4". He's not 5'10", 5'8", 5'7". He needs to play big like he is. And that's something that I would tell him, because it's the truth. You know? And those are things that I'm sure that D-Hop is telling Traylon, but he wouldn't tell us. And I don't expect him to tell. Exactly. I don't expect him to tell us. You know, but those are the things you have to express to Traylon. That, dude, you are a physically imposing individual. And you got the talent to play this position. Use it. Go out there and dominate. You're the best receiver on this field. I don't care what I've done in the past. You're the best from a talent standpoint. You're the best receiver on this field. Now go and prove it. Because he is. He's better than Ridley. He's better than D-Hop. And he's better than Tyler Boyd. At this present time, the physical nature of him. I'm not talking about his, the talent. I'm not talking about him going out there and putting up the numbers. I'm talking about that talent. Yeah, he's the one. That's why they're hoping that he pops. Because if he pops, it tilts the scale for this receiving core.
It tilts the scale for this receiving core this year. Mm-hmm. And it answers some questions you have going into the future. And I think that everything that you said there is spot on. And also back to what Brian Callahan said on the Bustin' with the Boys podcast. Well, now he has a new lease. Now mm-hmm. he has a clean slate, a fresh start. That's another thing that leads into Traylon Burks' favor. You've got all the talent in the world, and now you got a clean slate. So whatever, you know, weight that you felt on your mm-hmm. shoulders with the last coaching regime, I'm not saying that he did feel that, but I'm saying maybe he did. Being attached to A.J. Brown, all of that is gone.
I'm sure he did.
And it wasn't very good from the start. So if he was feeling that heavy, all of that is gone now. And another thing, might I add, mm-hmm. no, we're not sleeping on Traylon Burks because there's nothing to sleep on.
Yes,
he hadn't done anything.
Yeah, you're right.
Are we sleeping on the addition of Tony Pollard because he's proven to be a really good running back in this league? Maybe. We can have that conversation. Are we sleeping on Traylon Burks? No, he's a first-round pick. He hadn't done anything.
Yeah, you got a point there.
All right, I want to get into your thoughts on this coming up next and also wrap up some of our thoughts on Titans OTAs before we catch up with Jonathan Hutton at the top of the hour. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in on this. You can tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights at First Horizon Park. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35 p.m. with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Join Cromwell Media along with local athletes and musicians at Hermitage Golf Course on June 20th for the 615 Open. Make a difference while supporting Souls for Souls. Every $20 raised goes to a new pair of shoes for a local child experiencing homelessness. So sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. We'll catch up with Jonathan Hutton in just over 10 minutes, but first, I want to get to your reaction on our conversation about Traylon Burks, your reaction to what DeAndre Hopkins had to say in English and German about Traylon Burks. So we're going to get right to you unless we have some thoughts.
Let's go to the phone.
Let's get to the phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. Caleb in Gallatin, Texan says, Derek, do any receivers, whether it be on the Titans roster or another team, come to you for mentorship or advice? I think back to when Derek Henry talked to Eddie George, and the next thing you know, Henry takes over the team. Can we get you to do the same for Burks?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not going to say I've talked with Traylon. I'm not going to say I haven't talked with Traylon. You know, I think Traylon understands what's at stake here. And I think he's going to do everything possible to make sure he's in the best position physically mm-hmm. To be out there and do what's necessary. So, you know, whether he and I have, you know, spoken or not, that's between he and I. But he realizes, like, I don't think he's, I don't think he's just playing for this team. He's playing for 32 other teams, or 31 other teams. Because just because maybe it doesn't work here doesn't mean it's not or can't work somewhere else. So, you know, you have to go into this season not thinking about, you know, being here, but, you know, thinking about me putting something good on tape, period, for the other 31 teams. Because they may sign you back, they may extend, they may not. But at least you want to have the option to say, you know what, I played damn good football this season. And now my options are open to go to other places. But if you don't go out there and do what you need to do, then your options are going to be very, very limited. So
fair point. And there's been so much Treylon Burks trade, you know, scenarios. So I've seen so many of them. Like we touched on one from Bill Barnwell. And to that point, like, look, if it doesn't work out here for Treylon Burks, for the sake of his career, it has to work out somewhere else. You don't get very many opportunities in this league, NFL, not for long.
Yeah, so he, you know, whether, again, so this is a big season for him regardless of whether he's a Titan or not. If he wants to continue to play in this league, he's going to have to show something. He's going to have to show that he can consistently be out on the field. And I think that's first and foremost. Yeah. Before anything else, he has to show that he is available. Yeah. And he hasn't been available the last two seasons.
Available, reliable.
Exactly.
David in Arkansas, Texan, says, I think this team getting a new coaching staff could be good for Burks. More of a passing attack could equal more opportunities.
Yeah, it can. And I think I mentioned that much when they first hired Brian Callahan as coach. I said this gives Treylon an opportunity to really show that, you know, he can be a player in this league because of, you know, Coach Callahan's philosophy about throwing the football, getting people involved. I don't think the last regime did that. And I spoke up and I said it. You know, they didn't do a good job at identifying. Well, they may have identified. Well, they didn't do a good job at identifying all of their playmakers. Mm-hmm. They did a good job identifying one or two, but not the rest of them. And it showed. So to me, this coaching staff, they want to get the best out of Treylon. So I think if he's available, then you will see a different Treylon Burks than what you've seen the past two seasons.
How much, D-Mace, do you think OTAs for a first-year staff are more important than OTAs for a staff that's been together for a while? Like, this is a new era here. Should we be paying more attention to the OTAs? Because I'm always one that says, look, in May, I'm not going to really overreact to anything.
Yes and no. Yes, it's important because anytime you could be on the field, it's a good time for a coach. Because why? They want to, you know, coaches are here to be teachers. And they enjoy, if you're a coach, you enjoy teaching. You enjoy, you know, watching others progress in their careers. You get excitement and enjoy out of watching that. So if you're on the field more, that's great for you as a coach because you just want to coach the guys. So I think it's, from that standpoint, it's very important to sort of look at training camp or OTAs in that fashion when you have a new coach, because anytime they can be on the field with these players, it's a good time. Because why? We are learning more of the offense, not just in the classroom, but we're able to take what we learned in the classroom and implement it on the field. I was one that, listen, okay, write it on the board. I get it. I get the concepts, but I don't really get it until I hit the field, until we run those plays. And that's how I think some coaches feel. Like, I can write all this stuff on a chalkboard or the blackboard all day, or put it on the computer all day. But until we get out on the field, that's when I'm going to really see if it's sinking in or not.
Yeah.
So anytime they could be out there, that's a good time, Willie, in regards to the OTA. But as far as, like, okay, is this guy practicing or the offense don't look as good? No, I'm not worried about that. It's OTAs. It's new.
And there, like, I was talking about this with Robbie and Joe this morning. They asked me, you know, how concerned I was about players not being out there. And I said, well, it depends on why they're not out there. Mm-hmm. Like, Tavondre Sweat, it was reported that he wasn't on the field. And I thought, okay, well, why isn't he on the field? Is it just because he didn't feel like going to voluntary OTAs? Because although it's voluntary, you're a rookie.
A rookie would never not.
It's not voluntary if you're a rookie.
A rookie would never not go to voluntary OTAs.
Right. And then it was reported, I saw Joe put it out there, I saw TD put it out there, that he was getting rehab. Okay. well, on what? What kind of injury is it? And Paul Kuharski reported that it was something minor and not a big deal. Okay, great. Like, those are the things that are important. Oh, you know, if you win the day, quote unquote, in OTAs, that doesn't mean you're winning a Super Bowl.
No.
But there are things that you can pick up on. And at this time of year, you're gonna look into everything that you possibly can with all of the questions that we have about this team moving forward.
Yeah, you just want
to get... overreact to one day of OTAs, but it's fair to be concerned about certain things that you might see or not see.
Yeah, you just want to get 1% better each and every day. I'm not worried about Sweat not being there because we got to understand this. Just look at it. I want people to look at it from this standpoint. You got these rookies coming in, and I guarantee you, see, we have a magnifying glass on this team because we're here. But I guarantee you in Chicago, guarantee you in Baltimore, I guarantee you in Dallas, there's a rookie that's not practicing right now because of rehab. Why? Haven't I told everybody this a million times?
What have I said? I have learned from you, DJ.
What have I said?
When you train for the combine and you train for the draft, it's different than when you get
out
of the field.
Why do you think Marvin Harrison Jr. chose not to train for the combine, but what did he say? I'm training for what? An NFL season.
Well, he also didn't have to. Marvin Harrison.
He was in a different position.
He was right. Sometimes it takes a guy like him to do it, and then everybody else looks at it and say, you know what? He's absolutely right. I shouldn't have to do it. Because, I mean, listen, if I'm projected a first rounder or a second rounder, why do I have to go through all these drills? I need to be getting ready for the NFL season. I know I'm going to be a first rounder, or I know I'm going to be a second rounder. Why do I need to, you know, I can work on these drills, but I need to get myself ready for an NFL season. Sweat's not ready for an NFL season, and I didn't expect him to be ready. That's why he's in the training room. It's probably a hamstring or something, a strain here and there, something minor. No, what I'm saying is something minor.
Yeah, and that's what Paul Kuharski
exactly. So to me, something minor is, he felt just tightness in his hamstring. Yeah. All right, cool, let's set him back. Why? We don't need him right now. He don't need to play right now. We're not playing games. So let the young man sit, rehab, and then condition yourself to play a season. Every rookie in the NFL is conditioning themselves right now as we speak for a season. It's not just relegated or delegated to a Tennessee Titan thing. Every rookie that comes in is not physically ready to play a NFL season. No one is. None of them. Not even Marvin Harrison. He ain't even work out. You know, he ain't even do all the drills. Yeah. I guarantee he's not ready. So let's not hold that against him if they have a – you know, if they're not practicing a day or two.
And I wouldn't, you know, look, that's fine. If it's something minor, then okay, that's fine. But when I initially see that he's not practicing,
wonder why.
Why? Yeah. Oh, he's rehabbing. What's he rehabbing? So I think it's fair to have those questions and concerns. It's something minor. Okay, May 22nd, I'm not going to freak out about it. If this becomes a thing and come August 16th at training camp and he's still struggling to stay on the field, well, then the concern ramps up a little bit.
I tell y'all this. Sweat will miss more practices, especially as we start to get into 2-a-days. Some of it may be coaches holding him out 1 day or 2 days. It may be another 1 or 2 days that he has to not practice because he feels a twinge or something. He's a rookie. If this was a veteran player, I would be concerned because he knows what to expect coming in.
Quick school board update before we end the hour here. LSU up 7-0 over Kentucky.
Whoa.
LSU hit a grand slam to make Caroline feel a little bit better about the game. And LSU had a no-hitter through 6. Mm-hmm. Kentucky managed to get a hit in the 7th inning to break it up. But
no, it's interesting. Looking at a shutout here. Whenever the no-hitter ended, it was about 30 seconds after you mentioned something about it, Willie.
I know. I feel bad about that.
I should have said...
I should have been the creative way the announcers. He hasn't allowed a hit through 6. But if you sometimes
you
like
say
they
the
don't
words.
Want to say no hitter. Yeah. If you say no hitter, that is a jinx.
It ruins it completely.
Yeah. But sorry about that if that was on me. But I think you'll take the win. They're well on their way here. So that Kentucky, one of the best teams in the country. Chance for 1 overall seed. Good impression for the defending champs.
I would like to put the word out there that we back up. We back up. Jonathan Hunt will join
Caroline with the wire reference. I love it.
Jonathan Hunt will join us coming up next. We'll get his reaction to OTAs. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.